You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday to you. Thank you, my fellow D&M Auto Leasing Cross Talker.
D&M, baby.
Yeah.
D&M at you.
Do you think we got it? Did you think we did it? Did we do it?
Did we do what?
Don't worry about it. All right, let's get going on a Friday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You know the parties involved. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig. You on the text line, 713-572-4610, and also on the MoCarum Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. Before we do anything, can I do like an informal poll?
Of course.
Are allergies whooping y'all's keisters?
Is that what it is?
I think that's what's been
every year, man.
All this coughing I've been doing. Like, I went ahead and I took the good old Allegra D.
Claritin. Oh,
I took the I don't know why that's the one that I have. That's the one that I have. I went ahead and took that, and I felt better last night. And I was like, is that what has been kicking my keister?
It probably is.
And the thing that gets me about that, and the reason why it took me so long to get there, is it wasn't until like 3 years ago that allergies started hitting me.
Oh, me too.
I thought I was some level of immune person. I thought I was some level of God, right? Just
built different.
Built different indeed. I was like, oh, shout out to all y'all dealing with allergies. However, I cannot relate. And then I guess God or whatever deity you choose to believe in looked at me and was like, word?
Yeah.
Here you go, brother.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't have it frequently, but I think that that's what's been getting me. So let me know if you are also dealing with this
I was into my 50s. Like, I thought I used to pound my chest. Not me, baby. Not me. Built different. And then I got into my 50s, and I was like, oh, my gosh, my head's about to explode. It changes. It changes over time.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe so. Let me know if that's at all happening with y'all. One of the things that is happening, that's a terrible segue, I'm sorry, that's a throwaway, but I just didn't want to talk about the fact that
Jose Altuve is not allergic.
George Kirby not allergic, giving up runs, baby. A 9-2 victory for your Astros last night, and it felt like there was a lot of good things happening, and not even it felt like, just objectively, a lot of really good things happening, and I'd like to, again, appreciate George Kirby and his season debut coming off the IL. For not having like great control of his stuff, because that definitely helped what was happening here. But like, what signs were most encouraging for you with this club getting yet another victory, starting off this 4-game set well, and moving themselves closer to where you want to be in clawing a game back from the AL lead that the Seattle Mariners had?
Yeah, and that's how I look at this game as you kind of absorb it and digest it, so to speak. Because we don't know. I mean, they could spit the bit today, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, no. You know, so I was just looking for signs. What are the signs that, you know, good signs? Obviously, last night they're mostly all good signs that you think maybe are a good sign for things to come and not just an aberration, you know, as they've done up and down, up and down, up and down. And this might sound blasphemous. Jose Altuve, 2 home runs, you know, looking the part, obviously after the game. Joe Espada was talking about his approach at the plate and inside the baseball and how he's driving it. I'm still I kind of want to see a little more, you know. I want to see Jose Altuve get into that longer groove, so to speak. The one to me that was interesting is Lance McCullers Jr.
Yeah, he goes into he gets into the fifth, four mm-hmm. and a third in this particular outing.
Mm-hmm. And the reason is, you know, it really, you know, we were up and down. It was kind of a mixed bag with Lance McCullers Jr. But he's been on a little bit of a run here. His last outing gave up two runs, zero earned runs. Then last night, that might be something. And boy, do they need it. Boy, do they ever need it at this point with, you know, obviously their pitching, starting pitching depth really taking a hit. So I think McCullers might be onto something here.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, like that is going to be the one that is incredibly necessary. Mm-hmm. And I think shout out to Adam Spillane out there on the Twitter machine, mm-hmm. always worth the follow. And you know, in
baseball spoke.
That's right.
Baseball spoke.
In doing that, he pointed out a good thing about Lance McCullers that I took notice of, and I went in and kind of like mm-hmm. dug deeper on, which is there is a level of Lance figuring some things out that we should also account for, just besides just, hey, is he throwing his stuff well? Mm-hmm. What is the stuff that works for him yet now, right? We obviously talk about the idea of the dip, you know, not pitching since 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at like his tendencies of his arsenal. What are the pitches that he's throwing just in general, and what did he throw in that game? And there's a stark difference in what he is throwing. I think there's a level of trying to figure out which pitches work for him now, and not just working off of the pitches that he had been throwing prior.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like he's starting to find a level of answer there. I mean, you're seeing, I know that the knuckle curve is one that he's still coming back to as I try and find the tab that I had this all in. There we go. But yeah, you're seeing the changeup obviously is one of the ones that that is a big difference, because back in 2022, he uses changeup, I won't say like sparingly, but significantly less. Like, mm-hmm. you know, obviously he has like 5-6 pitches at his disposal.
Yeah.
And the ones that he used most prevalently back in 2022 was his slider, his sinker, and his knuckle curve. And now you see that switch up to where the changeup and sinker are the ones that are in his primary pitches. In that mm-hmm. same space, the slider and the knuckle curve has fallen off
yeah.
in a significant way, only using that about 11% of the time. Whereas previously that knuckle curve was a 25% of the mm-hmm. time. Pitch
How much
form.
Is he using the slider?
He's using the slider 27% of the time, using the changeup 27% of the
That's
time.
That's still low.
Well, I mean,
you
like
know, for him, for what it was, you know, back in the day.
I mean, actually, the slider, that's a little bit of an uptick. He used to throw it 25% of the time, but he had more of a consistent four pitch mix, whereas he's now a little bit closer to a 3-pitch mix with a little bit of knuckle curve mm-hmm. in there as well. But I think ultimately the point really just being, outside of the individual pitches, is finding which pitches work for him, and then also like getting those back to the levels that he had. I mean, he got whiffs on a lot of those. He put guys away on a lot of those pitchers in the same way. I think that it's fair to assume that early on he was not going to come back and have the exact same
snap. We talked about it.
Right? Mm-hmm. But even just figuring out what the arsenal is before you have the mm-hmm. snap on all these pitches. And I think that gave me a little bit of understanding, okay, I can give him a little bit of leeway early on, and you're seeing progress mm-hmm. in that way. I think that, yeah, that was definitely encouraging. As you mentioned, he's third right now on the guys that you need to depend on in your rotation.
Yeah, and no matter, you know, whether you call it slider, knuckle curve, whatever, he's a breaking ball pitcher. I mean, that's what he is. And, you know, to be able to throw it for strikes is what's encouraging to me. Just eyeball test. Be able to get swings on it, be able to hit the strike zone with the breaking ball pitches. That to me was that's a good sign. That's a very good sign, because I think that's something that once you get that control and you find your, you know, your little slot, so to speak, that can continue. One name that I'm starting to sort of like nod my head and go, okay, is Victor Caratini. I think Caratini has shown some things here, you know, over the last seven games, last week, batting .400 with a 1.023 OPS.
Is that good?
That's very good.
You said batting .400?
.400 for seven straight, for the last seven games.
He's
starting to, that's more than just one game sign.
And giving him a chance to hit every day. I wonder also how much mm-hmm. of that is just, and we were talking about this a mm-hmm. little bit off air, I think it's a conversation that to be had in more depth, mm-hmm. and, you know, the limitations that Joe Espada has just off of the roster construction.
Right.
Right now in your lineup, who are your lefties?
Yep.
And the answer is, trick question, you really don't have one except for the switch hitter in mm-hmm. Victor Caratini. So I wonder how much of that is also a benefit for him in getting a chance to play every day.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he has to get in there and he's producing. So that to me is a good sign that let's keep an eye on that, because that would be a very big development. We know their defensive catching is not good in terms of catching runners, attempting stolen bases and such. But if you can swing the bat like that, and get on the field in other ways, then you're on to something. The other ones that were interesting to me last night, and again, maybe this is you need more time, but they've been decent overall, is the relievers, not named Abreu and Hader. You know, you were able to throw up some zeros, and that was Dubin getting the win, and Okert and King and Caleb Ort. That was a good sign, because you're going to need those guys again, because the starting pitching is going to need it.
Yeah, and I think that one, it was less of a revelation to
put
me.
Put a pin in it, by so any, to speak?
No, not even that. I think that was less of a revelation mm-hmm. to me, because mm-hmm. they have been doing that. All those guys, sub-2 ERAs, all those guys, Caleb Ort, mm-hmm. a little bit above, 2.25 ERA. But, I mean, even then,
yeah.
we gonna thumb our nose at 2.25, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think these guys have all kind of delivered. Mm-hmm. The problem has been, for the most part, lack of run support. Yeah. That's the thing that I would typically look at. These guys have been doing that, and they had plenty of run support in this one, so not really a shock for me for those guys. So I don't know how much I look at that as a revelation, but I do appreciate that they gave you that. We have not talked as much about like the offense as a whole, and Ocho comes in with this. Happy about the first two runs being scored on productive outs rather than just like hits, right? Manufactured run opportunities are going to be absolutely necessary for this team that does not seem like they're going to be, world beaters
yeah.
at the plate or just offensively in general.
And maybe that's a sign that is significant. You know, we were questioning, you know, them not being able to move guys, not being able to create the traffic not very long ago, and maybe that's part of it as well. And have you noticed this? Have you noticed Cam Smith the last 10 games?
Dude, I have gotten to the place with him where I am super excited when a ball goes out to right field. Like, yeah. Him defensively, and maybe it's just the thing that I know about myself with mm-hmm. athletes. If you want to find a way to my heart as an athlete, be fast,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Ricky Henderson, one of my favorite baseball players, even as not like being able to watch him. Now, a lot of that is just the personality of Ricky Henderson
yeah.
looms large, but also you see him
He's
run.
A machine.
Like, you talk about Ellie De La Cruz, it makes me happy. I mean, yeah. you can go run down the list of dudes that are really fast, and there's a good chance that I have a level of affinity for them. And Cam Smith is displaying some of that, but also it is with a level of touch that feels – it feels like he's building, he has built a confidence
yeah.
in playing out there. I mean, the catch that he makes in foul territory where he comes up and mm-hmm. moving forward into top foul territory, avoiding the wall there.
Yeah.
Like, there's a level of comfort. There's a level of kind of creativity with it. There's a joy that he plays with. All of that is really exciting. And it's nice to see that from a dude who, I mean, is still working his way when it comes to the plate. Even that has gotten better. But that was the concern, is you moved him just to get him up on the roster out to right field, a position that he hadn't played. And he is latching onto it in a way that is incredible.
The defense is obvious. The offense, another little thing that I dug into, because I'm like, boy, he sure has been a little more productive offensively. Well, last 10 games, .395 with a .777 OPS.
Absolutely.
So is he finding, that's a sign, right? Again, they could spit the bit today and we're like, oh no, or whatever. But there are signs. And Cam Smith at the plate on top of the defense all of a sudden seems to be maybe finding that he's settling in. You know, here we are. We're getting into late May. We're in late May. And maybe he's settling into to things at the plate.
Yeah. I think if we're talking about the signs that we found encouraging in the 9-2 victory with the Mariners, this isn't even one that was inherent to this game. It was kind of inherent to the broadcast. Shout out to mm-hmm. Space City Home Network bringing this up, because Jake Myers has been one of those guys that mm-hmm. has been really fun to see. But there was a little bit of a wrench thrown in the excitement, right? Mm-hmm. A little rain on the parade by, you know, pointing back to what did his May look like last year? Mm-hmm. Is this one of these things where it's just going to be a month that shines and then also goes away?
Yeah.
And because he had a fantastic May last year. And we know that last year, I mean, the production over the entirety of the season was not what it was in May. And yeah. it seems like you could easily make the argument that this could be some level of redux. I don't know how you pronounce that. I've only read it. but the thing that is encouraging, his chase rate is way down this mm-hmm. year compared to the last three seasons. And mm-hmm. I mentioned it because Space City Home Network pointed to that. And I think that I'm using that as a level of encouragement that this could be at least some level of close to what Jake Myers is, particularly because, right, I don't think that the chase rate going down is an anomaly, because that has been a point of focus,
That's
a point
exactly
of emphasis for Joe Espada and this team going in. And you've seen places, guys yeah. that have, you know, been a little bit more disciplined in certain places, right? Jeremy Pena is one of those guys where mm-hmm. it's not like he has completely, stopped swinging at those sliders away, but yeah. he's been a lot more diligent when he swings at those, and you've seen production there. Jake Myers not swinging outside of zone, swing at strikes, and hell, look at what happens. You give yourself a much better chance
yeah.
at getting on bases and then utilizing your actual real, God-given strengths, which is let's get on these bases, let's run,
yeah.
let's get under tags, let's get additional bags, and that helps the offense as well. So, like, those are some of the ones. That one really made me happy when I saw that about Jake Myers. I was like, okay. okay. And I think I texted you about it. Yeah, man, this feels like it's a little bit more real. And I think that's something that hopefully carries on outside of the next, what, 7 days?
Yeah.
When May turns over.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. This is, you know, this is what they've been talking about since spring training. I feel like even yesterday, and maybe this is, you know, a sign, maybe it's not, I felt like up and down the lineup, there was a little better plate discipline. I was Altuve. I was talking about how he just seemed to be flailing at some pitches.
Yeah, and did we do the thing where we buried the lead? Altuve going yard double time?
Twice.
What is it? It is the 12th time in his career that he's had multiple home runs?
Yeah.
Let me double check with Chandler Rome, the man who is very often on top of this when it comes to that particular stat, because I do recall seeing that, but I wanted to make sure to hit that. You know, you have him going yard a couple times. You have Jeremy Pena, who is now a usual suspect, getting his 500th career hit and sending putting George Kirby out for the night with a two-run triple that he got in this game. Like, yeah, man, I think those guys also, that just them finding, well, Jeremy Pena continuing, but then Altuve doing that, having that kind of night, we knew that there was going to be a breakout. And this feels like it could be that if he can carry that along.
Well, we got a good time to do it.
That'd be very, very helpful. And I say breakout, like obviously he started the season pretty damn well, but like a return to who's Jose Altuve is in all reality. That's encouraging, especially for those of us in this room who are out here wondering if this was a sign of slowing.
Yeah, and we'll see. It's a good time to do it. I want to see more from him, and it's a good time to do it, as I mentioned, with the Mariners.
Yeah, so big win for the Astros, if for no other reason than, you know, to get out of this 17-game stretch with a fairly good record, at least the one that I called before was a 10-7. I think that you needed three of these ones, and you get the first one, especially knocking down George Kirby, who was a very, very good pitcher for them. Back in action tonight. We'll talk more about that as we go along on the program here. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about the Texans. Who is the most underappreciated Texan in your estimation? NFL Network has a guess. I'm interested in hearing what you find people think. We'll discuss all of that next.
Yeah!
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you feeling the Friday vibes? It is indeed a Friday here in the loop on Sports
weekend,
Radio
baby.
610. That's also a great
shout out to No Traffic. A lot of people making it a 4-day weekend.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true. Hope
what's
that
up, T Mill?
Yeah.
Wow. You just gonna call him out like that?
Hey man. Hey, salute to him, man. Happy anniversary to him.
That's true.
He's got that shout bread, out to man.
Shout out to the man. All right. Now you in his pockets and everything.
Got that Lopez
crazy
bread.
That is why. Just
real recognized real, huh, Lopez?
Just in the man's pockets. That's
real.
That's
recognized
insane.
Real.
Yeah, man. Who is the most underrated Texan? Let me just go ahead and ask the question before I mess around and get out of time. But yes, NFL.com put together a list of the most underrated players for every team. And that got me thinking, like, who on this Texas team do you think is the most underappreciated? 713-572-4610. Because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of usual suspects that we give a lot of love to. But I'm very interested, like, who are we looking at here? And very early into this, On the text line, also on the YouTube page. I got an unorthodox answer here, and I just want to start here.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we can start rattling off names and discussing merits.
Well, just real quick, everybody's playing for second place. Not that this is a competition.
You think so?
I've got the answer.
Okay.
I would expect nothing less.
Okay.
Nothing less than Lopez to come out with that level of...
There's no shame in second place.
That level of, I don't know, aplomb. I've used the word too much.
Confidence?
Yeah, confidence.
Cockiness?
That's a lot closer to what I was looking for. On a subjective question.
No, man. Not that it's competition, but y'all are playing for second.
What do you think about this from Kix Rocks here on the YouTube page? Off the wall a little bit. Frank Ross, most underappreciated texter.
I like it.
I didn't even go my brain did not go to you know, front office, coaching staffs or anything. But if you were going to go to coaching staff, Ross the one you go to?
You feel like he's underappreciated?
I think
though?
He's very much appreciated. I feel like as we special teams.
Yeah,
coach.
I feel like we appreciate him a lot, and he's always in the headphones. He's always next to the head coach. He's right there
again.
So I don't know how many decisions he made like outside of special. He's always right.
Coaching, I'm thinking coaching now. Obviously everybody knows I'm biased, but I think Gerard's pretty underrated, man. CJ loves that cat, and he stayed around, with the new regime.
And it feels like, he might be rewarded for staying and getting a little bit more say along with CJ in the way that this offense goes. So, we might have to see about him being added into this. I think Frank Ross is an interesting answer because not only, like, do you want to make sure you do special teams good, right? I think you also, like, the energy that he brings. Right? It seems very cliche to say this, but special teams is not anything anybody signs up for. No, like, nobody tries to make, or I guess that's not the way to say it. Nobody dreams of making the NFL to go down and be a gunner, right?
I'd really like to be a gunner someday.
Yeah, maybe you talk about being, like, a returner.
Yeah.
Right, but or if you are a kicker and that's your way in,
positions, field goal block.
Right, all these guys are on the roster in theory for these other positions, and then you get handed, and it doesn't quite work this way. Like kind of the cast offs from these other positions that you have to bring together and make them into a cohesive unit, have them all pull in the same direction, and hopefully be good at it. And he does that pretty consistently.
Yeah.
So I do give him a lot of credit for that. And he has stayed through multiple regimes. That's right. All right, but let's get to some of these other, because I do want to circle back around to the coaching, but I think the players are really where this is at. Who comes to mind for you?
You mean who's in first place?
All right, who's in first place, Lopez?
Henry Toto. It's not close.
It's a great answer.
It's not close. Mm. They needed him. Like, they didn't just want to plug him in there. They needed him. And that dude was a monster. If we're, you know, all relatively speaking, I mean, you know, he was an absolute monster to the point that we're having discussions right now about, I mean, Christian Harris might be healthy and not getting on the field. You know, we don't know. We'll find out.
That actually kind of happened.
Yeah, that's what it was at the end of the year. Yeah. And now we're kind of wondering, is he going to beat out Toa Toa?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
But do that make it feel like he was appreciated, though? Because they could have easily put him back. Mm-hmm. To where he was supposed to be. I feel like they did appreciate him towards the end. Like, yo.
Well, I'm talking about us.
Yeah. Okay.
In general.
Yeah.
We can end up in this place where we do the underappreciated, where we really, get nitty gritty on that particular term. And then we miss the forest for the trees. So I don't want to do that necessarily. But I do want to appreciate Henry because you're right. Like, he actively made what was a weakness for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to fully go to a strength. But a place where I mean,
I don't know, man. Wasn't he second in tackles or something like that?
And I think that it's the necessity of like just being in that place. Yeah. But yeah, man, he was very good. He very much he got a lot of shine last year. You are correct, Texter. I think just the step that he was able to make was very big. And I don't know how many outside, I guess, people outside of the Houston Texans sphere would look at Henry Toa and go, that guy is pretty critical to what you're doing. But last year, he was.
Yeah.
He very much was.
And the reason I have him, he led the team in tackles. 105 tackles.
How many guesses do you think it would take if you put a roster, a defensive roster in front of a non-Houston Texas fan and told them, give me the leading tackler on this team?
5%? Less?
Like, how many guesses, rather, do you think it would take? I was like, you answered my guesses with the percentage, and I was very confused as to
10.
What you meant. Yeah, I think that it would take a while.
Look at these numbers, and keep in mind the backdrop of what Reggie just said, and also the fact that had he not played to this level, and I get linebackers by default get more opportunities.
Yes.
He still led the team in tackles, sack and a half, seven tackles for loss, three passes defensed, an interception. I mean, if he hadn't done that, what would this defense have been?
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It'd have been a real problem. Like, the spine of the defense is that conversation, yeah. And that linebacker core matters in a big way, particularly for D'Amico Ryan.
And it was we thought it was a kind of a weak linebacker core. With him at the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, you give the credit that's due to Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen filling in where you needed to, but more Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen, I don't know that I very much would have wanted to opt for that in any circumstance.
Who else is the most underappreciated among Texans? Like I said, you know how I feel about Toa Toa. I thought that was massive.
Is there an argument that can be made here for Kamari Lassiter?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. You have an all-pro player on the opposite side of you. And, I mean, he obviously got his burn as an all-pro player. Kamari Lassiter didn't get enough of those shouts for being the guy that's on the opposite side of a great cornerback. And we know what that typically comes with, is that typically means you are getting the larger load of the work. As a dude who we could talk about the 4-6, we could talk about that. I mean, as a rookie as well.
Yeah.
And when he was tested, it went pretty well. He had to move around a little bit. And he handled that particularly well. Mm-hmm. And it feels like he was not heralded as much. Now, that's very much leaning into the, I guess, underappreciated versus where I believe he should be valued. Because he was definitely, I mean, he was good. I think a lot of people acknowledge that he was good. But it feels like maybe on a larger scale, he was not appreciated to a high level. That might be stretching this. Would you like to hear the answer that NFL.com gave to this question? And this came from, like I mentioned, NFL.com, Tom Blair of NFL.com. If you have any qualms with this, the answer is on the defense. So that's where we've been going. And notice we haven't mentioned any offensive players. I wonder how we feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive end. You feeling me?
Yeah.
Derek Barnett.
I'm good with that.
Played 38% of the. Sorry.
No, I'm saying I think so. I agree with that.
Played 38% of the snaps 2024. Lowest in any season which he suited up. But he had 5 sacks, which is tied for 72nd most in the NFL, right? But you look at it, and you just undeniable amount of work. You talk about the obviously big plays that he had, right? He had the turnover, taking that to the house, those type of moments. While also being a dude, and we've talked about this before, but I don't know if we talked about it in depth. The idea that's a dude that absolutely would go and have a large, if not just like starting share at an edge rushing position at many other teams in the league. Mm-hmm. And yet he is here and he's a depth piece and he just does his job at a high level in a relatively small amount of snaps. Like, that is a dude that does not get a lot of love. We'll talk about Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter for good reason. That guy just steps into the role and he does it at a high level. And I don't think, I mean, I can't really speak specifically to it, but I don't feel like there's much complaining happening there.
No, no, not at all. And I'm good with that one. In fact, that might be, you know, my second choice based on everything that you just talked about. I'm trying to think of an offensive player that was underappreciated as much, you know, of a beating as the offense took.
I will probably, I don't even know if this is under, maybe this is a little underappreciated, but first person I thought about was Joe Mixon.
That was the only answer that I was coming to, and that is just.
But he was getting accolades like crazy.
Yeah, no, he was, but just him being out there fighting for all them yards, man, I feel like that was very underappreciated.
Maybe I'm overthinking this.
It's possible.
it's probable. What about Dare? What would they have been without Dare coming in on passing situations and helping out and blocking and, you know, the occasional rush, the occasional catch, special teams, all that stuff?
I hear you.
Am I overthinking it?
Maybe.
But there were no other running backs.
No, you're right. Like, yeah. I think Dare exists in this place where he is like Swiss Army knife, done a little bit of some of everything, getting involved special teams wise, being a viable pass catcher.
I like the kind of dismissive. I hear you, but
I got you, bitch.
What you want me to say? You want me to say bad things about my Nigerian brethren here? Is that what you're trying to do here?
No, it's bad things about my take, about my opinion. You're like, yeah, I hear you.
No, because I appreciate that. I just don't know that I'm, and I guess this is the idea of we're trying to find something on the offensive side that I don't know.
But
is
offense
there.
Is it's a reach,
right? Yeah. I think I was thinking Mixon as well, just on the idea of he was generating all that by his lonesome.
Yeah.
And yes. I think we're talking Derek Barnett did have two touchdowns there, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Mechie, Patterson. Patterson's an interesting one. Like, there's a.
Yes.
Because as much as that offensive line was woeful all year long, the time when you were at least able to find a little bit, a semblance of cohesion, a semblance of logic within what was really bad blocking schemes from Bobby Slowen.
I'm good with that one.
He was at the center position. I think that's a good shout there, putting Jarrett Patterson up there. Somebody said having to play next to Kenyon Green and Shaq Mason is still looking decent. Hey, yo, I mean, you're not wrong.
I hear you.
You're not wrong. I wouldn't have said it that way. No, I think that is the good. Are we willing to put Jarrett Patterson as our offensive answer
I'll
there?
Put
I think
him
that's
there.
That's a good one. That's a very good one.
That's tough though, man.
I think
that's a tough list.
It speaks to how tough the offense was, and it was very clear either the players that were not helping or the players that were helping a lot and basically doing everything.
Yeah.
And that delta needs to close significantly this year with the offense. And so you hope that CJ Stroud obviously having a lot of input, but you know, Nick Cayley and this entire offensive staff will be able to really make that go so that we could talk about some of the guys who are productive and maybe to a point where they can even have an opportunity to be underappreciated. But shout out to Derek Barnett, man, because that's really important, especially with D'Amico, the way that he likes to run guys in and out. He matters a good deal and continues to matter into why this defense has been, and I honestly believe will continue to be, an absolute nightmare for teams in the National Football League. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It is a Friday, in fact. It is a Friday also that represents the final episode of Around the Horn on ESPN, if that means anything to you. 21 years on the air. And so inspired by that, that's our question. Our question of the day is this. What broadcaster or sports show inspired your love of sports the most, or helped grow your love of sports? 713-572-4610. Give us your answers and we will talk about that next. Question of the day here on a Friday. Oh, man, I love watermelon, man. I appreciate that. What a broadcaster or sports show helped cultivate your love of sports? 713-572-4610. Because I don't know if it's going to be the primary one, but the show that inspired this absolutely is a part of that. Around the Horn having their final show of their run as they're, you know, finishing up on ESPN. 21 years? Mm-hmm. At least for Tony Reale, I think maybe 23 years total.
Because he came in 2004.
Yeah, he came in 2004 after Max Kellerman took the helm. But I mean, all sorts of, like, one of the things I loved about it is just, you know, all sorts of like sports journalists, as we've kind of moved a little bit away from kind of people that have started in print media. But it was a way to have kind of these discussions, but also kind of organize these thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it brought you some kind of, local perspectives to a national perspective.
Yes,
and I think we're suffering for that even now.
Yeah.
Having a good idea of, hey, what is a local perspective? Somebody who's on the ground, who understands these teams uniquely, but on a national level. That was one of the things that was nice about it, amongst many, many other things, introducing you to all sorts of people. But anyways, that is the inspiration.
Yeah.
What's your answer there?
What inspired you to become the sports fan you are, or the person you are in the business, in our case? And, you know, I want y'all and I want our listeners to think about this, because as we're putting this question together, I actually wonder if I would be, maybe I would still somehow be where I am because I've always loved sports, but I would have the particular loves that I have,
mm-hmm.
you know, with college football. You guys know how I feel about that, and basketball in general. If it weren't for the two voices that really sort of narrated, you know, that growth when I was 10, 11, 12, 18, 19, 20, you know, in those early years, I really wonder. And some of the names for your generation and younger generations, they won't even recognize the names that kind of put, you know, made that love a love. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a guy named Terry Stembridge that nobody knows. You ever heard of Terry Stembridge?
I have not.
Yeah,
I
would
be wrong if I told you I did.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But I've, yeah, my Figgy has said, he's often said, Terry Stembridge, man.
Yeah,
that's
my man
guy.
T.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You call him T?
That's right.
I would go to bed.
Terry,
this is dating. I would go to bed with a transistor radio on my pillow.
Transistor radio is man. Crazy.
Yes, listening to Terry Stembridge post-game comments.
I think our engineer Andy got one of those right now.
That sounds about right.
Of ABA basketball. Man. But think about it. Basketball, it's in my blood now. And college football, you know, there was Keith Jackson calling the game on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, and people do know this guy because he became a legend. There was Lindsey Nelson with the recap of Notre Dame football. And I'm not and never have been a Notre Dame fan, but I was getting my college football fix. So Lindsey Nelson, Terry Stembridge, in terms of like talk shows, Howard Cosell. I mean, Wide World of Sports, sitting on those chairs with Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and all these great sports fans, and just talking it up and promoting, you know, fights and all that. But that's my generation: Lindsey Nelson, Terry Stembridge, Howard Cosell. I'm curious on yours. I mean, they formed everything that I am.
I think it's interesting that you're bringing up generations, because I do wonder if generationally that changes kind of the categories of the people that might be in this answer.
Yeah.
Because you start talking about play-by-plays, and I feel like one of the things that one is just in a particular generation, especially people that maybe grew up 60s, 70s, 80s, like baseball in particular, maybe some basketball, and I think football is pretty solid on TV, at least relatively at that point. But those guys, their broadcasters, especially locally, mean something to them. Like, those are the people that brought you the game most directly, especially if you were not of the means to be able to go to these games relatively consistently. And it's kind of funny how in every metropolitan area that has one of these teams, whoever it is, the voice of blank is your dude.
Yeah.
Like, he is the best dude to ever do it, except in very small circumstances where they hate the guy. But it's usually like, this is the legend, right? On the text line, Jeff. Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans. When I was living in Hawaii, I'd catch up on Texans radio, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think that guy means something to you. And not to say that, like, not to undercut their value, because everybody has their particular relationship with it, but those guys matter. I think you get to certain areas and it becomes TV guys. Like, I know Stuart Scott is one of those ones that pops up every damn time because SportsCenter in that era meant something. Or Dan
Golden
Patrick
era.
Is a huge one as well that will come up in those spaces. And then I wonder what that is for some of these, like, you know, Gen Z that are out right now. Like, what even types are? Is it the people that are on these TV shows? Is it Stephen A.
Could
Smith?
Could be Todd Callis. No,
is it right? Where is it for those folks?
Yeah. What about you, Figgy?
Yeah. So mine, I got a couple local ones from from home. So Tom Hamilton, who calls the Indians/Guardians games, like every time I hear baseball in Cleveland, I hear his voice. Jim Donovan, rest in peace. He was the play-by-play guy for the Browns, the radio play-by-play guy for the Browns. He was also doing, I want to say, news stuff, WKYC in Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will always see him when it's time for the sports updates.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always see him. But just – I guess making me feel more comfortable and wanting to get into this field as far as like that or just in sports in general was Michael Smith and Michael Holly.
Oh, yeah.
They used to always be on Round the Horn, too. I thought they was really good. Who else? Stuart Scott, obviously, because I felt like, damn, if he could do it and make it sound cool, I could probably do that, too, even though it wasn't that crazy. But
yeah,
this one, y'all might look at me crazy, but Old Stephen A. Smith was really good, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, fantastic. Oh, like,
I know yeah. It's not really fantastic. Popular. No, yeah. Stephen A. back in the day was solid, man. Mm-hmm. He was solid, especially when he used to work in Philly. Nah, he was really good.
Dude, first time I met Stephen A., he wasn't even on TV or radio. He was the beat writer for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
who knew? You know, I'm just sitting there on the press row with Stephen A. just shooting the bleep. And next thing I know, he's making $100 million or whatever it is that he's doing. What about you? Are y'all old enough to remember Inside the NFL?
Inside the NFL comes in on the text line here. Inside the NFL was not one for me. Funny enough, like football. Yeah.
Lynn Dawson, Nick Bonacani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, football was one that you watch, or that I watched rather, but it wasn't one that I like got into like the outside kind of talk about it until later. Like I think I was a weird kid where I was very much into studies, and so like the sports, I enjoyed playing sports, but actually going and enveloping yourself in that was not necessarily the way I did that. The places where I did was basketball, especially all inside stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the one that jumped out to me. So Ahmad Rashad, Summer Sanders, that era was the one that really appealed to me. And I was talking to you guys about it now. I was obviously Sean and Seth earlier as well. I didn't even realize that both of them were incredible athletes in their own right as much until later, where you go, oh, okay, like Summer Sanders, four Olympic medals. Right? Ahmad Rashad, a incredible wide receiver out of Oregon, right? All those guys. But just giving me access to the dudes that I was really interested in and getting more of the stories on basketball in a time where I did not have the other place to get in that. I imagine that's where someone, 713, mentions the Wild World Sports.
Oh, yeah.
ABC Wild World Sports.
That was it. Right. That was pinnacle. Yeah.
Mm. Some other ones where we start talking about like your local loves, what have you, Andre Ware from the 346, Milo Hamilton comes in, Chick Hearn for someone who grew up in L.A.
Gene Peterson
as well comes in. Here, and I mean, especially for those of us like basketball fans, for me, Calvin Murphy, like I still remember there was a time that I was with my mom at Sam's Club, my mom, and I was like, is that Calvin Murphy? And she's like, you should go say hi. And I'm like, no, I will not bother that man on his day. Like that was the level of respect as a young Reggie had, where I was like, and maybe it's warped, I was like, I respect him so much. I'm like, nah, I want to give him this time because I appreciate
what
he
does. You
can
admit it. You were just scared.
I mean, maybe. Maybe. No, but I don't even think, like, sincerely, I don't think it was a fear. I think it was like, nah, I don't want to bother that dude. Which I probably now, looking back, is like, you should have gone and said what's up to Calvin Murphy. Some other ones, Jim Rome, somebody said, is what got them into sports radio as a kid, looking forward to it during the summers. Somebody said Gene Peterson and Bill Worrell.
Yeah.
Some other ones, Dan Patrick, as we mentioned, Stuart Scott. When we talk about Vernon and Gary on CBS for the SEC afternoon game.
Oh, yeah.
Someone brought up Joe Buck. As well. And so, yeah, man, it's kind of incredible thinking about the people that get you to have more of a love for this. And even more modern, like I talked about, and one of the reasons why I brought it up with the Sports Emmys, NFL Live does such like incredible work to help like make smart football analysis more accessible.
Yeah.
And I respect that a lot. So like those types of things, like there's the people that give you the stories. Like obviously you start thinking about like some of the dudes that are iconic, right? That give you the stories of the game, that help you analyze the game, and then make you feel good about covering the game.
Real quick, who are your favorite around the horn
analysts? I mean, it's going to be Bob Ryan.
He was great.
Just an incredible basketball repository, or just sports repository in general. Basketball, I think he might have known more than anything. That's why, actually, one of the answers that I didn't mention, Hubie Brown, is one of those guys, because I was just like, oh, I will never know as much as Hubie Brown knows about who. Yeah.
Michael Smith was mine.
Woody Page.
God, he's so good.
He definitely did it.
By the way, Around the Horn premiered November 4th, 2002.
Goodness
gracious. So 23 years, 4,953 shows, 61 panelists.
Man,
those are stats.
There you go. Yeah. And final one happening today on ESPN. Salute to a institution in its own right.
Absolutely.
In sports. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. Where is this guy a lock for comeback player of the year? And also, we were talking about the Colts. Now that Jim Irsay has passed, there's actually a really interesting story about him preparing his daughters to take over. We'll talk about all of that next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.